Siempre. Sí. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are fortunate to have our guest Nithai Sevani Mataji to enlighten us on the topic of Swarup Damodar Goswami and Shivanand Sen and Radha Yatra pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna, Nithai. Mataji, you join the call, Mataji?
No, Tipni Mataji will give.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Tiffany Mataji, please take out the call and give the brief introduction of Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Her Grace Nithai Sevani Mataji was born in a Gujarati business family. Her family later moved to Hyderabad in 1984, where she was closely associated with ISKCON, Secunderabad. She took initiation from His Holiness Jayapataka Swami in Atlanta in 1998. She recently graduated from GBC College as a zonal supervisor. That was in March of 2019. And this certificate was Chakravarti awarded by none other than the most revered His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami. Her goal is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. That's why she immerses herself deeply in all services, heading the Divine Touch School, the festival coordination, congregational preaching, and those are just some of the things that she does. She shares the responsibility of the smooth running of ISKCON Vizag with her husband, Sambar Prabhuji. Despite her heavy responsibilities, she travels worldwide, delivering thousands of lectures and inspiring millions in Krishna consciousness. And we are so very grateful that she is here with us today to give us class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Tiffany Mataji, for a beautiful introduction. Hare Krishna, Nithai Sevani Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning. And the enlightening on the topic of the special topic today. Swarup Damodar Goswami and Sivanand Sen and Radha Yatra, pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you so much, Mataji, once again. I would like to hand over call to you, Mataji. Please accept. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. Am I audible?
Yes, Mataji.
Thank you. So Hare Krishna, and my humble obeisances to all the devotees at the Bhakti Sangha. Vancha kalpataru bhayascha kripa sindhu bevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnavrindaki jai jagat guru srila prabhupada ki jai iskon vartaman guru vrindaki jai. Hare Krishna. So, we'll begin today's session and invoke the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, my audio is okay? It's okay? You are okay? Okay. Ananda Leela Maya Vigrahaya Hema Bhadivya Chavisundaraya Tasmai Maha Prema Rasa Pradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Nityananda Prabhu ki jai, Pancha Tattva ki jai. So, today I've been asked to speak on the lives and teachings of these two glorious, glorious personalities of Swarup Damodar Goswami and Shivananda Sen. I don't know where to begin from and whom to begin from. Both are so glorious. One is a celebrated renunciate, and one is an exemplary grihastha. So maybe I'll begin with Swaroop Damodar Goswami and let's see how time goes. So in the Chaitanya Manjusha by Srinath Chakravarti, he mentions a beautiful verse in which in four lines he summarizes the whole ideology of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He summarizes what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is. So he says, Aradhayo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanyas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadhu Vargena Vakalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramana Mamalam Prema Pumartho Mahan Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Tatradarahana Paraha. He says the goal of the human life is to aradhayo Bhagavan, worship Bhagavan. Who is Bhagavan? Vrajesha Tanyas, one who is the son of Vraja Isha. Isha is the king of Vraja, and that is Nanda Maharaj. So the goal of our life is to worship the son of Nanda Maharaj, that is Krishna. Why? What will we do by worshipping him? We'll go to his dham, tad dhama Vrindavanam. The worshipable dham is Vrindavanam. Okay, so how do I do it? Okay, just follow the footsteps of Gopi. Ramya kachid upasana vrajavadhu. Just like the gopis are doing it, just follow their footstep. The way they did upasana, worship of the Lord, you continue in that way. Okay, what's the syllabus? What syllabus do we follow? Srimad Bhagavatam, Pramanam Amalam, the spotless Bhagavat Purana. Okay, what will I get out of it? Prema Pumartho Mahan. And who is telling this? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matam Idam. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. So the thing is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling us that we should follow in the footsteps of gopis. Now this is something so lofty. We don't even understand, you know, how do we follow in the footsteps of Gopi? When we say following in the footsteps of Gopi, doesn't mean that we externally imitate them or try to behave like them. But following the footstep is to internally understand the mood of the gopis. So internally understanding the mood of the gopis, how do we do that? So where is this gopi here in Kali Yuga? And that is Swaroop Damodar Goswami. He's the incarnation or expansion of Lalita Devi, is what Vrindavan Das Thakur says in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Whereas his whereas Kavi Karna Purna in his Gaura Gaunadesh Deepika says that he is Vishakha Devi. So whatever it is, we take him as a combination of Vishakha and Lalita. So the only way to approach the Lord is through these gopis. So when we understand the mood and when we understand the pastimes and the lessons from Swaroop Damodar Goswami, from Ramananda Rai, then only we can progress in our spiritual life. Actually, our philosophy is so high, but we are in Kali Yuga. But we regularly keep speaking that high philosophy. And by going on speaking that high philosophy, there are every chances that we may start thinking that I'm also on that high level. And then there are every chances for hypocrisy. So it is such a dangerous situation unless and until we take very seriously the shelter of the associates of the Lord, which we can't directly, but we take it through Guru Parampara. That will be the right way to follow the footsteps of these exalted personalities through serving the Guru Parampara. So today, we will dwell a little deep into the life of these glorious personalities and see how they served Mahaprabhu, what was their mood, and what are the lessons that we can take from them. So Swaroop Damodar Goswami, as I just said, is a combined incarnation, we can say, of Lalita and Vishakha. His previous Purva Ashram name was Purushottam Acharya, and he was the son of Padma Garbha Acharya, and they were living in Navadvip. So even as a little boy, Swaroop Damodar Goswami, even as a little boy, he was very attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So wherever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to go, he used to follow him. Now, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and left Navadvip, he became very, very sad. He became almost like, you know, mad, like a madman. And then he ran and he left house and left and went to Varanasi. And there he took initiation from Chaitanyananda Bharati. And then after taking sannyas, when he comes to know that Mahaprabhu is in Puri, then Swarup Damodhar Goswami, he comes to Puri. And when he reaches Puri, he says Mahaprabhu is not there. Mahaprabhu is in South India. So he just remains in seclusion. And then he waits for Mahaprabhu to return. So this is found in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 10. So chapter 7, 8, 9 is about Mahaprabhu's South Indian Yatra. And then the 10th chapter, we see Swarup Damodhar enters. So here he meets Mahaprabhu at Gambhira. So Mahaprabhu comes back from South India and then Swarup Damodhar Goswami goes, pays his prostrated obeisances, and then Mahaprabhu immediately hugs him. And then very beautiful conversation between both of them start, where Mahaprabhu tells Swarup Damodhar Goswami that, oh, I just dreamt that you are going to come today and I was blinded. I was like a blind man. Now that you have come back, my vision is restored. So that much attachment Mahaprabhu had for Swarup Damodhar Goswami. And then, he was called Swarup because that was the name he got when he took actually, when you take sannyas, they change the name. But Swarup Damodhar Goswami, he just retains his brahmachari name. His brahmachari name was Swarup. So usually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions that usually when they take sannyas, they're supposed to get the name of Tirtha. But he did not accept all that. He said, I'll just retain my brahmachari name. And even Bhakti Vinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya, he says that Swarup Damodhar Goswami did not want saffron cloth, danda, or any external sannyas related things because he thought that will make him falsely proud. So he took the sannyas in the spirit, but he did not actually accept saffron cloth. So then he goes to Mahaprabhu, and then there has been very beautiful conversation between both of them when he sees Mahaprabhu for the first time after taking sannyas. And then he tells Mahaprabhu that, oh, I'm so sinful. I just left you. I abandoned you, my Lord. And I forgot you when I went off to a foreign land. But you are so kind. You didn't abandon me. And you brought me back again. You bounded me by, you know, by your love in the neck. And you brought me back to you. You are so kind. So I thought that was such a beautiful conversation, because it says in Vandanam, when we do the Navavida Bhakti Vandanam, when we pray to the Lord, there has to be four things. We glorify the Lord, we ask forgiveness from the Lord, and we tell the Lord about our shortcomings, and then we put forward our desire. So all these four things were covered by Swarup Damodhar Goswami when he just meets the Lord. He tells him that, oh, I'm fallen, I'm sinful. That means he's just, you know, talking about himself. And then he glorifies the Lord. But you have not abandoned me, though I abandoned you. You're so kind. By your mercy, you brought me back. And then he says, give me shelter at your lotus feet. And he glorifies the Lord. And then he asks forgiveness. You know, he asks forgiveness. And I went off to a foreign land and I forgot you. So I thought that was something like Swarup Damodhar Goswami was actually representing all of us jivas, because this is what happened in our life also. We forgot Lord. We just moving around in this material world from one body to another. Our soul is going on and we have abandoned the Lord. But Lord has not abandoned us. He's still there. He's always there as Paramatma in our heart. And he's all the time trying how to get us back. And he's sending messages through his devotees, through his books, through his prasadam, through his rupa, through his name, through his form. Come back, come back, come back to me. So such a beautiful conversation. And this name, Damodhar, is also given to Swarup Damodhar by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he was such an amazing singer. He used to sing so beautifully that it is said in elsewhere in Chaitanya Charitamritam that when Swarup Damodhar Goswami sang, it was like a Gandharva. And Mahaprabhu used to get so ecstatic and maddened that one time when Swarup Damodhar Goswami was singing, Mahaprabhu actually ran in ecstasy and he jumped inside a deep dry well. And then all the devotees became so anxious and they all ran to the well. What must have happened to Mahaprabhu? And when they looked inside, inside the well, they see the well has become full of butter and Mahaprabhu is floating in that well. So that beautiful singing Swarup Damodar Goswami used to do. So his brahmachari name was Swarup, and then Mahaprabhu called him Swarup Damodar because of his beautiful singing. In fact, in the 10th chapter, so many beautiful qualities of Swarup Damodar Goswami are mentioned. How he was in the knowledge of scriptures, he was like a Brihaspati. In singing, he was like a Gandharva. So we know that he was like a Brihaspati. How so many examples are there in Chaitanya Charitamritam, especially how when there was a simple Bengali devotee called Bhagwan Acharya, and how this Bhagwan Acharya, he gets very easily carried away, very simple hearted person. And once a Bengali poet comes to him in Puri and befriends him and starts living with him and then starts narrating his poems, whatever he had written, and Bhagwan Acharya becomes so happy with those poems, and he goes to Swarup Damodar Goswami and says, such beautiful poems he's writing, maybe we should present this to Mahaprabhu. So Swarup Damodar Goswami was more like a censor committee. Everything that goes to Mahaprabhu has to go through him. So he initially he said, I don't want to listen. And then when Bhagwan Acharya was insisting and then insisting, then he said, okay, I'll hear. So then when Swarup Damodar Goswami, they had a reading where this Bengali poet, he does his reading. And the moment he reads the first stanza, everybody becomes so happy. They start clapping hands. But Swarup Damodar Goswami says, stop, you know. And then he tells the poet, can you explain to me in detail what do you mean by your first para? And then when he starts saying in the poem, Jagannath is the body and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the soul. And in Jagannath Puri, the body and soul have come together. Then Swarup Damodar Goswami becomes very unhappy. He said, what is this, philosophy? You have created your own philosophy. How can you call Jagannath's Vigraha, the deity, as a material body? He's a supreme lord. There is nothing like body and soul. And how can you call Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a soul? That means you are trying to compare Mahaprabhu with the ordinary jivas like us. You know, we are soul. We go from one body to another. But you are comparing, you know, with that same tendency, you are comparing Mahaprabhu. Oh, you are blaspheming. You will be ruined. And he just gives him left and right. And all the devotees who are present there, they were just glorifying this Bengali poet, and then they all understand, and then they all become very grave. And then, but this Bengali poet was a very nice Vaishnav, and though he wrote something wrong, but that was because of his lack of training, not intentionally trying to criticize the Lord or something like that. So then immediately when Swarup Damodar Goswami understands his mood. Can you keep the clock here so that I understand? Otherwise, I'll go on speaking. Okay. when he understands his mood, then he becomes very soft to him. And he says, oh, no, it's okay. I mean, this verse is, you know, you could have changed it a little bit like this. Then this verse would have been appropriate. So like that, you know, very sweetly. See, here we see a sweet heart of a Vaishnav. Actually, Vaishnav likes everybody. There's nobody a Vaishnav doesn't like. But at the same time, a Vaishnav is smart and very intelligent, and it's not that he will accept philosophical deviations, because Vaishnav is a natural leader, and he knows that if today I say yes to this, the future generations, they will go on with this poetry and they may misinterpret it. So they are so careful to cut it at the bud wherever there is a little deviation, but otherwise they're very soft-hearted. So anyway, he disapproves him, but he doesn't disown him, and immediately he just criticizes or chastises him, but then at the same time he just accommodates him also and says, okay, don't worry, you stay in Puri in association of devotees, read Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and get proper training. And then he does that, the devotee, he does that, he reads Bhagavatam, gets proper training, and eventually he starts writing amazing poem. And then Swarup Damodar Goswami takes that Bengali poet to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and makes sure that he gets the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I thought that was such a beautiful point, because sometimes in our lives also, it may so happen that we want to serve the Lord sincerely, but we may not have that qualification. But by this pastime, we understand that it's all right, even if we are not qualified. If we can take shelter of a Vaishnav, because of taking shelter of that Vaishnav in all humility, we can learn and we can eventually, you know, render that service which we want to. So I thought that was so beautiful. And of course, there's so many such incidents happen with Sarup Damodar Goswami. But this particular incident is very sweet because we understand that Vaishnav can be so kind. You know, one moment they may be angry on us, but the other moment, you know, they will accept us if we surrender, because the whole goal is for them is to somehow please Krishna. And they just like a sculptor, how he just molds the stone, they just mold us properly. So sometimes the hitting may be hard, just like, you know, you drink neem juice. Neem juice is bitter, but it's healthy. So sometimes when Vaishnavas chastises, it may be like bitter like a neem, but it's good for spiritual health. They'll mold us in such a way that we become presentable to the Lord. So similar such incidents happen when Bhagwan Acharya's brother Gopal Acharya comes from Varanasi, and he's a Mayavadi. But Bhagwan Acharya says, it's okay even if he's a Mayavadi, but he's written very nice poem. And anyway, we are not Mayavadis, right? We are all devotees. We know what to take and what not to take from that poem. So he goes to Sarup Damodar Goswami and says, why not you just give him one hearing? He has written it very beautifully. Then Sarup Damodar Goswami, he chastises Bhagwan Acharya and says, what is this? We are not supposed to hear, even if it is, you know, even if we know what to take, what not to take, still better to avoid Mayavada Bhashya. And I'm not interested to listen. And you ask him to leave Puri, you know. I don't want to listen to his, you know, whatever he has written. So that way, Sarup Damodar Goswami was so, so very strict. So, so like that, there's also something very special that we owe, we all of us owe to Sarup Damodar Goswami, is that whatever we are reading, this nectarian Chaitanya Charitamritam comes from Sarup Damodar Goswami. Because the last 12 years that Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, Sarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai, they were like shadows of Mahaprabhu, always with Mahaprabhu. So he made notes like a diary, whatever pastimes were happening. And when Raghunath Das Goswami came to Jagannath Puri, when he ran away from his house, Mahaprabhu had given Raghunath under the care of Sarup Damodar Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami was personally hearing, you know, reading those notes of Sarup Damodar Goswami. In fact, Mahaprabhu used to say there are three Raghunaths in Puri. There is Raghunath Bhatta, there is Raghunath Vaidya, and then there is Swarup's Raghunath. That means Sarup Damodar's Raghunath Das Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he heard all these pastimes from Sarup Damodar Goswami. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, shortly afterwards, even Sarup Damodar Goswami left this world. At that time, Raghunath Das Goswami was very sad. You know, the Lord has left, my Guru has left, so why should I live in this world? So he goes to Vrindavan to take association of Rupa and Sanatan. But even after going there, he has this tendency, I cannot live in separation. So one fine day, he decides to give up his body. At that time, Rupa Goswami, you know, somehow controls him and says, well, you have, you know, personally witnessed the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, and you have also heard so many pastimes from your Guru, Sarup Damodar Goswami. Why not you narrate them? So then Raghunath Das Goswami starts giving classes. And in that class, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami hears all the pastimes, and that's how he writes the Chaitanya Charitamritam. So largely it is from the notes of Sarup Damodar Goswami. So we owe it to him today, whatever the nectar of Chaitanya Charitamritam that we are drinking. So Sarup Damodar Goswami is very, very important for us. And not only that, Mahaprabhu during the Gundicha Marjan Leela made one very important point. Today in India, is the Gundicha Marjan day. So from morning, we were all into cleaning. And just in the evening, devotees finished up the whole cleaning process. So this very, very special pastime happens today, the Gundicha Marjan Leela, where Mahaprabhu, along with all the devotees, are cleaning the Gundicha Mandir, the Mandap. And one Bengali devotee, he just comes and starts washing Mahaprabhu's feet and starts drinking water from there. And Mahaprabhu is like, you know, Krishna, Krishna, what is this happening? And he immediately calls Sarup Damodar Goswami and chastises him. Look what your Gaudiya Vaishnava is doing. Look what your Gaudiya is doing, you know. See what situation he has put me into. Inside the Hari Mandap, inside the temple, somebody is washing my feet and drinking. See how this is offense, you know. And then he says, look, your Gaudiya Vaishnava is doing it. And that is a big hint to all of us that all of us in the Gaudiya, Madhva, Sampradaya, we all belong to Sarup Damodar Goswami. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself says, your Gaudiya Vaishnava. That means all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are under the shelter of Sarup Damodar Goswami. In fact, we call ourselves as Rupanugas, but even Rupa Goswami is under the shelter of Sarup Damodar Goswami. And how is that? We see the proof of that in Chaitanya Charitamritam. In Chaitanya Charitamritam, at one place when Mahaprabhu is singing a beautiful verse and Rupa Goswami writes a commentary to that verse, and when Mahaprabhu goes to meet Haridas Thakur, you know, that hut where they are staying, somehow Mahaprabhu gets hold of this leaf where Rupa Goswami has written that poem commentary, and then he becomes so happy that how did Rupa Goswami understand my heart? And then he asks Sarup Damodar, hey, how did he understand my heart? And then Sarup Damodar Goswami says, Mahaprabhu, because you have blessed him, you have empowered him, because you have showered your mercy on him, that is why he is able to understand. So then Mahaprabhu looks at Rupa Goswami and says that you take teachings from Sarup Damodar Goswami. So the rasa, the science of rasa was learned by Rupa Goswami from Sarup Damodar Goswami. So ultimately, you see, we are followers of Rupa Goswami, but Rupa Goswami has taken shelter of Sarup Damodar Goswami. So how important Sarup Damodar Goswami's role in all of our Gaudiya Vaishnava's life is. So like that, there are many other pastimes. In fact, there's no one place. You can see many, many different chapters in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Some way the other Sarup Damodar Goswami's name will come. Like one instance is where when Mahaprabhu finally goes to Vrindavan, I mean, finally they agree. They were just, you know, cheating Mahaprabhu, not allowing him to go to Vrindavan. And finally, when they agree, then Sarup Damodar Goswami says, okay, we agree, but with one condition, you have to take an assistant. So then Mahaprabhu says, no, I don't want. And then Sarup Damodar Goswami says, no, you have to take Balabhadra Bhattacharya, and he's a good devotee. He'll take care of you. So like that, we see Sarup Damodar Goswami was an expert organizer. He used to organize everything, what prasadam Mahaprabhu will take, what he will do, his daily schedule. He's like a secretary, where he will go, his travel plan, everything was decided by Sarup Damodar Goswami. And not only that, he was even a good writer. In fact, even during his Brahmachari time, he had written something called Sangeet Damodar, a musical book also. He was, and the whole daytime, Mahaprabhu used to meet everybody, but in the night time, he used to hear bhajans of Chandidas and Vidyapati and Jayadev Goswami, which Sarup Damodar Goswami used to sing very beautifully, like a Gandharva, and Mahaprabhu used to become so happy because Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Radharani in separation from Krishna. And Sarup Damodar Goswami used to enhance that mood by beautifully singing bhajans, which are connected to, you know, give more rasa to that mood which Mahaprabhu was experiencing. In fact, even during Rath Yatra, when there were seven groups made, every group had a lead singer and every group had a lead dancer, one of the group was headed by Sarup Damodar Goswami. And in his group, the lead dancer was Advaita Acharya. So like that, we see Sarup Damodar Goswami's name mentioned here and there in so many places, and how he very beautifully assisted Mahaprabhu. So even we see that when Mahaprabhu came back from his South Indian Yatra, he brought two important books. This is Krishna Karnamrita and Brahma Samhita, fifth chapter. And both of these books were handed over to Sarup Damodar Goswami. So Mahaprabhu had such faith and such, you know, he was so responsible because it was a rare copy, and Mahaprabhu handed it to him, and then he took care of, you know, copying those books and distributing it among the devotees. So there's, of course, one other pastime of how once Mahaprabhu is just looking at the moon and he sees the reflection of the moon on the ocean, and then he starts remembering Vrindavan, and then he thinks this is Yamuna, and he just jumps inside the ocean in the middle of the night. And then all of these devotees are searching for him, where he is. And then finally a fisherman, is chanting Hari Hari. So Swarup Damodar Goswami is the one who understands, why is this fisherman chanting Hari Hari? Maybe he knows where is Mahaprabhu. So they ask the fisherman, hey, what happened to you? He said, some ghost has haunted me. I was just trying to, do some fishing in the night, and somehow I caught a corpse, a dead body in my net, and the moment I touch the dead body, the ghost from that body has come to my body, and look what's happening to me. And then Swarup Damodar Goswami very expertly says, I am expert in removing ghosts. Come next to me. And then Swarup Damodar gives him a big tight slap. And he says, look, now your ghost is gone. Now take me from whom you got that ghost. Take me to that person. And then the fisherman takes them to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then they take the Lord. So like that, we see such amazing, amazing pastimes of Swarup Damodar Goswami. He was very friendly with Pundarika Vidyanidhi. And of course, that time when Swarup Damodar comes there from Varanasi, and after 2 years Mahaprabhu come back from South India, and during that time even Ramananda Rai comes from Vidyanagar. So that's how they all become close Vaishnav friends, and they together serve Mahaprabhu. So this is with the Leela of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And coming to Shivananda Sen. Now, Shivananda Sen was a very exemplary grihastha. Shivananda Sen in the Vraja Leela is a Veera Gopi. And some other places I read that he's a combination of Veera Gopi and Duti Gopi. It's a combination of two gopis. And he's more famous because of 2-3 very, very special incidents that happened, and also because of his exalted son, Kavi Karnapurna. So Shivananda Sen had 3 sons. One is Chaitanya Das, and one is Ram Das, and one is Paramananda Das, or Puri Das. Mahaprabhu used to call him Puri Das, and he later on became Kavi Karnapurna. So that is very, very special pastime, because Shivananda Sen used to come every year with all the devotees from Navadvip to visit Mahaprabhu, and then they used to stay there for a few months and go back. So at one time, Mahaprabhu asked Shivananda Sen, what's the name of your son? And he says, he's Chaitanya Das. And Mahaprabhu says, what is that name, Chaitanya Das? And then he says, when his wife is pregnant, so he says, this time when his child is born, call him Paramananda. So Mahaprabhu does the name giving ceremony even before the child is born, because Mahaprabhu feels very embarrassed that why is he calling his child Chaitanya Das, So that's how he's called Paramananda Das. And when he's actually born and he's a small little boy, when they bring him to Puri, at that time, somehow he's just 1-1.5-year-old boy, and they place him next to Mahaprabhu's feet. And this little boy just moving here and there, he catches, Mahaprabhu's toes inside his mouth and starts sucking it. So, and that's how he gets blessed with the mercy of Mahaprabhu. And when after a few years again, they used to go every year. So when this boy becomes 7-year-old, and at that time, Mahaprabhu is introduced to this boy. So Mahaprabhu, blesses the boy and asks him, he says, so tell Krishna, say Krishna, say Krishna. And the boy doesn't say anything. He just keeps mum. And Mahaprabhu is, telling everybody that I made even the, every small little worms also chant, Hare Krishna, even the living entities, animals, trees. And how come I'm not able to make him chant Krishna's name? At that time also, Swarup Damodar Goswami, he understands the mind, he immediately says, no, Mahaprabhu, he's not chanting Krishna's name, because according to the scriptures, when Guru gives us a name, then that name should not be repeated. So because you just told Krishna, he has taken this as his Ishtadev mantra from you, and now he doesn't want to repeat it in public, but he's actually chanting that name inside his mind, Mahaprabhu, like that Swarup Damodar Goswami clarifies. So then Mahaprabhu says, okay, he can't repeat that mantra, but can you speak something about Krishna? So there immediately the 7-year-old boy, he opens his mouth and composes then and there a beautiful verse on Krishna. And when he just, flawlessly recites that verse, everybody is dumbstruck. Oh my God. And then Mahaprabhu says, oh, this is so beautiful. Then he calls him Kavi Karnapurna. And that's how he becomes. Kavi is a poet and Karnapurna is the ears. Such beautiful. It is a nectar for the ears. And some other places it says because he spoke about an ornament which the gopis put in the ear, or Krishna is the ornament of the gopis. So many such interpretations are given to that verse. But finally he's called the Kavi Karnapurna, and we read the Ananda Vrindavan Champu, which is composed by him, and Gaura Gona Desh Deepika, which is a reference for all of us all the time, who was what in Vraja Leela and Gaura Leela, is by Kavi Karnapurna. So Shivananda Sen had two nephews, that is Sri Kanta and Sri Vallabha. And the main important service of Shivananda Sen was arranging travels, food and lodging and ferries and taxes and toll taxes and, organizing this whole yatra of taking devotees from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri every year. That was his main service. And it was not that, like he was collecting money from everybody and then spending. He used to spend his own money. It's like just, doing a unmotivated, selfless service to the devotees. Actually, that service was done by Vasudeva Datta, but Mahaprabhu himself said that, hey, this Vasudeva Datta is very prodigal. He spends a lot of money lavishly, so you take care of it. So then Shivananda Sen started taking care of it, and it was such a, usually, every devotee wants to do a service which is attention seeking. Okay, everybody should know. But Shivananda Sen was so humble. The type of seva that he was doing was something like in the background. Nobody would even know what he did. But he used to do all that, speaking with this. Because those days, the place was ruled by the Muslims. So Orissa was by Hindu people, but the Bengal was by the Muslim king. So when they had to go to Orissa, there were lots of tolls that they had to pay and they had to negotiate. And Shivananda Sen was very expert with that. And especially being Grihastha, he knew that how to talk, what to do. So he used to do that job. So that was what he was doing. And something very beautiful happens one day. So one day, because those days there was no mode of transport. So it used to take for them almost 1 month to go from one place to another. So they used to halt in some village and then again walk and then halt. And that's how they used to go. So once it so happened that a dog followed them. So now when this dog followed them, Shivananda Sen became so merciful to this and so compassionate to this dog that he was personally taking care and making sure that he gets prasadam, because his dog also became like one of the pilgrimage in their whole jatra, hearing the Bhagavatam class, taking prasadam, walking with them, and he was continuously with them. But at one point, when Shivananda Sen became busy with the toll collectors, and when he came back in the evening, the dog was missing. So he asked his servants, what happened to the dog? And they said, we don't know. It was here. Did you feed the dog? They said, no, we forgot. We were busy. So Shivananda Sen gets very upset and he sends 10 and 20 of these best men, go and search for the dog. But then it's all futile. They search everywhere and they can't get the dog. So now, he becomes very upset and, with a very sad heart, he's continuing his journey because he was so compassionate to the dog that even at one place when the ferryman, the boatman who takes them across, had said that I will not take the dog in my boat. And Shivananda Sen was ready to pay double just to take the dog across with them. Of course, as devotees, we should understand this one thing very clearly, that Shivananda Sen's attachment to the dog was not like the Bharat Maharaj's attachment to the deer. His attachment to the dog was more like Yudhishthir Maharaj's attachment to the dog. There's a little difference here, because Bharat Maharaj's attachment to the deer took him down, took him away from Krishna. When he was leaving his body, he was just thinking, oh, what will happen to my deer? Who will feed him? Oh, where is the deer today? I didn't hear his sweet sound. Oh, where is the green grass for my deer? So what was happening is he was getting attached to him and detached to Krishna. But here we see in the case of Yudhishthira Maharaj, when the dog was accompanying him, and finally the time came for him to ascend, go up, he said, I'm not going to leave this dog because the dog is dependent on me and it's my duty to take care. So there is a difference between attachment and duty. And here we see the same thing with Shivananda Sen. He didn't do it as, you know, oh, I just got attached to the dog. No, he was saying because the dog was becoming Krishna conscious, or rather he was taking prasad, he was participating in the class. So he was just having compassion that, oh, this dog is going to miss the opportunity. He was hearing Harinam, and so that was for the spiritual progress of the dog, but that was not a mundane attachment. Because sometimes, you know, as devotees, we may just misunderstand. He got attached to dogs, even I can get attached to some, you know, some animal. But what's the purpose? Is that, do we want some reciprocation? Then that is sense gratification. Because what happens in the karmi world, when they keep dog, or they want to hug the dog and they want reciprocation from the dog, it may not be genuinely that I want to make dog Krishna conscious or something like that. So there's a little difference here. And then of course, Shivananda Sen, with very heavy heart, they just continue the journey. And then finally, when they reach Puri, to their amazement, they see the dog is there, sitting next to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is eating coconut, and after eating, he's just throwing the remnants to the dog, and the dog is very happily eating it. And then after some time, they don't see the dog anymore. So then Sarup Damodar Goswami says, oh, maybe the dog has just gone back home, back to Godhead, because he received the mercy of Mahaprabhu. And I thought that was such an important lesson for all the devotees, that if somebody can become an object of affection of a Vaishnava, then he becomes automatically an object of affection of the Lord. That's such a beautiful point. The Vaishnava's mercy is followed by the mercy of the Lord. If some Vaishnava is merciful on us and shows compassion to us, then we can be ready. Now, next, we're going to get mercy from the Lord, because that's how the order is followed. So instead of directly trying to approach the Lord, if we simply become a dog, dog in the house of a Vaishnav, and somehow we become a recipient of the mercy of that Vaishnav, then there are all chances that we will become the recipient of the mercy of the Lord. This is what happened to the dog. That's why every day in the Mangala Arati, we are singing, no? Yashya Prasadad Bhagavat Prasadu, Yashya Aprasadad Nagati Kutopi. When the Vaishnavas, they show mercy on us, then it's easy to reach God. But if they're displeased with us, then we don't know what's our gati. In fact, the Vaishnavas or our gurus, they play such an important role in our life. In fact, Madhvacharya, he sings a very beautiful Kannada verse. He says that, Hari Munigare Hara Kayava, Hara Munigare Hari Kayava, Hari Hara Munigare Guru Kayava, Guru Munigare Kayava Yaru. He says, if Lord Vishnu is upset with you, don't worry, Shiva will take care. Oh, Shiva is upset with you? Don't worry, Lord Vishnu will take care. Oh, both Lord Shiva and Vishnu are upset with you? Don't worry, Guru will take care. Oh, Guru is upset with you? Oh, then I don't know what to do. I don't know who will take care of you. So in this context, I'm trying to say that Guru and Vaishnavas, we have to be so careful. If Vaishnava is upset with us, don't know. Where will we go? What should we do? So one has to be so careful not to displease a Vaishnava. At the same time, if we please a Vaishnava, oh, then, you know, the doors of Krishna's mercy are open to us. And one way of pleasing Vaishnavas is to do Vaishnava Seva. And that's what Shivananda Sen was doing. So selflessly, taking care of everybody. They used to come, Advaita Acharya used to come, Nityananda Prabhu used to come, sometime with their wife and children and the whole entourage, and very selflessly, like a humble servant, just trying to serve them so sweetly. And when somebody does Vaishnava Seva, actually there is so much ananda, even in, I'm sorry, just one second. There's so much ananda. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, there are four kinds of anandas. One is Vishayananda, the ananda, the pleasure that we get from sense gratification. That's very low ananda because it's a visha. Later on, it'll be like a poison. One is Brahma ananda. When somebody gets merged into the Brahman effulgence, okay, that also gives ananda, but it's temporary. Anytime you will fall down. And one is Prema ananda, when we get Krishna prem. But he says, better than Prema ananda is Seva ananda. When you serve the devotees of the Lord, then that's the best thing, the best kind of bliss that you feel. So very important point we see here is Vaishnava Seva. This is one important point. When somebody does Vaishnava Seva, they become very powerful. And I'll give you proof of this. In the Krishna Leela, when Kamsa was driving the chariot and Devaki and Vasudeva, you know, just after Devaki gets married. So Kamsa is driving this chariot and he's taking Devaki and Vasudeva, and then suddenly Akashvani, the celestial announcement comes. Hey Kamsa, you are taking this Devaki with you, but her eighth son is going to kill you. Now somebody may say, why do the demigods have to make such announcement? They could have keep their mouth shut. Unnecessary, they put Devaki into problem, and then Devaki and Vasudeva were imprisoned. Why did they even have to do it? So Vaishnava Acharyas, they gave a very good commentary. They said, they purposely, the demigods, they did it because Kamsa was doing Vaishnava Seva. He was taking Devaki and Vasudeva like a menial servant, like the charioteer taking them in the chariot. If he would have continued to do this Vaishnava Seva, he'll become very powerful. So they don't want he should do Vaishnava Seva. That's why they stopped him immediately. The moment they did that, celestial Akashvani announcement, immediately Kamsa stopped his ratha, got down, took out his sword, and then, you know, there ends the matter. And then both of them were put into the prison, and at least he was stopped from doing Vaishnava Seva. Does Vaishnava Seva, he'll become very powerful. Nobody can then do anything to him. That's why Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that sometimes the Lord actually hides the Vaishnavas, because he's sometimes he's worried, if they serve the Vaishnava, then I'll be, you know, sold out to them. So that's one very important point. In fact, Chaitanya Bhagavat Vrindavan Das Thakur says that when Mahaprabhu was leaving Navadvip, the last instruction that he gave to Sachi Mata was, Mother, we should do Vaishnav Seva, and Krishna consciousness or our bhakti life should be continued in association of devotee. That was the instruction he gave to Sachi Mata. In the Antilila of Chaitanya Charitamritam also, at one place Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions that service to Vaishnavas is more important than service to Krishna. And then in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, Lord Krishna also says that Mad Bhakta Puja Abhyadikam, that if you render service to my devotees, I become very happy. And then you see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also says that if somebody doesn't serve a Vaishnav, doesn't have a faith on Vaishnav, then three things he will do. He'll become envious, he'll become violent, and he'll start blaspheming devotees. So one has to be very careful. Have faith on Vaishnavas and do Vaishnava Seva. Then Srila Prabhupada also, in one of the classes he gave in Los Angeles in 1968, he said, in our ISKCON community, our community is made up of devotees. Just like the way we love Krishna, we should love his devotees. So Srila Prabhupada made this statement, and many places in his classes he mentioned that just the way we love Krishna, we should love his devotees. Then we see Bhakti Vinod Thakur in Upadeshamrita. He also, very beautifully he says this point that our goal is not to make a Uttama community. Our goal is not to make a Kanishta community. Our goal is to make a Uttama community. So that means our goal is not to have a community which is full of Kanishta devotees. And definition of Kanishta is one who has only faith and respect and love, faith and love and respect only for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he doesn't have any faith on Vaishnavas. So that is a Kanishta. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, we don't want to have Kanishta community. We want to have Uttama community. So where we respect the devotees of the Lord also in the same way as we respect Lord. So there is a problem here. We are very much convinced by that yes, we should serve a Vaishnav, we should love and respect a Vaishnav, but how do we know who is a Vaishnav? That's where we are stuck, and that's where our whole life is stuck. I like to serve and I'm convinced that, you know, but there's no pure devotee there. I don't find anybody is pure. Everybody has some or the other, you know. How do I even know who is a pure Vaishnava? What are the symptoms? How do I get to know? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary to Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 4.4.12, gives very interesting statement. He says that in this world, there are four sadhus and there are four asadhus. So he gives the different types of sadhu. So he says in sadhu also there is mahat and there is mahatara and there is ati mahatara and there is mahatma. And then in asadhu also he says asadhu, asadhutara, asadhutam. And he, like that, he gives different explanation. So in that, if I want to put it in simple words in English, he says there are some people who see good and bad, but they focus only on good and they ignore bad. There are some people who see good and bad, but they focus only on bad and ignore the good. There are some people who see both good and bad and give equal importance. So some people, they see only good. Some people, they see only bad. Some people, they see bad also as good, and some people see good also as bad. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives this example. He says that, let's say there is a sadhu in Vrindavan, and in the cold winter night, you know, he's just sleeping with his blanket, and a thief comes and steals away that blanket. So what this Mahatma, sadhu, he will see bad also as good. So he'll say, hey, glory, glory, glory to this thief. He's so nice. So people will ask him, what is nice about him? No, no, he had a knife with him, but just see, he did not kill me. He did not do anything. Simple boy just took my blanket and left, you know, so nice hearted. So that's how the sadhus are. Even in the bad, they see only good. But those who are asadhus, even in the good, they see bad. If they see some sannyasi preaching or they see anybody preaching, they become so envious, you know. Oh, he's preaching, but what kind of sannyasi? He's just see his belly. He has a pot belly. Oh, what kind of sannyasi? He's just going to Grihastha's house and, you know, he has so much money. Oh, what preaching this person is doing? Just see the way he's dressing himself. So in the good also, because they just can't take the good of others, they'll just try to point out some fault. If nothing, they'll try to find out fault with the dressing. Dressing is not good. This is not good. That is not good. But some fault finding will happen. Sadhus. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says the problem is with us. Actually, there are so many Vaishnavas, but the problem is we have that asadhu nature. Just try to magnify the bad in others, and we are not able to see good in others. So, you see that an example of who can be, you know, Mahatma or Mahatara, we see Bhakti Vinod Thakur. If you see in his Kalyana Kalpataru, there is one very beautiful verse where he is taking blessings from all those shatru, all the enemies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in the Chaitanya Leela, all those who cause disturbance, he said, oh, they're so worshipable. Because if they were not there, how the rasa will come? They just came and disturbed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because they wanted to glorify him. Oh, my pranams to them. So he did pranam to both Mitra and Shatru. All those who were helping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his pastime, he said, they are glorious. All those who were disturbing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the pastime, he said, oh, they are so glorious. For him, everybody is glorious. Oh, everybody is so nice. Oh, they don't mean it. They're just doing it because they want to glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So like that, they see good in just about everybody. So we can see that practically Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and he's asking them also for blessings. He's asking those people who disturb Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. He said, please bless me so that my mati, you know, this Bhakti Vinod's mati is in Krishna. Please bless me. He says like that. So it was so beautiful. So those who are devotees of the Lord, they are sadhu, mahatmas. For them, everybody in this world is so so nice. So that mentality needs to be cultivated. Because if we keep on finding fault and we keep on finding fault, then we cannot progress in our Krishna conscious journey. And if we keep on judging people and keep on tagging them, oh, he's okay Vaishnava, but he's not a pure Vaishnava. Actually, we should consider everybody as a pure Vaishnava and respect everybody. That should be the rule, because see, Jagadananda Pandit also says, you know, elsewhere that even demigods cannot understand who is a pure Vaishnava, then how can you and me understand who is a pure Vaishnava? Sometimes a pure Vaishnava may hide himself. What will we do? How will we know who is a pure Vaishnava? We may end up committing, offenses. Let's say if a pure Vaishnava starts behaving like a completely materialistic person just to hide himself, he doesn't want people to know he's a pure Vaishnava, then we'll be in big mess if we start judging people with their external behavior. So better, you know, we should be respectful to all, should be our, agenda. Everybody should be respected. Again, all said and done, I'm not saying that we should take association of everybody, because that we have to be careful which association inspires us in Krishna consciousness. What we are simply talking here is respectful to everybody. Just be respectful to everybody. We have to be so careful. In the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 13, verse number 11, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions one very beautiful point. This is in connection with Nimi Maharaj, when he gets a spiritual body. So here Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that just like Krishna, according to his independent will and desire, he may manifest himself, he may unmanifest himself. If he wants, we can understand him. If he doesn't want, we can't understand him. He has his whole independent choice. Similarly, a devotee also, a pure devotee, a Jivan Mukta, he has a choice. Sometimes he wants to reveal himself, he will reveal. Sometimes he doesn't want to reveal himself, he'll not reveal. So we have to be so careful. See, like you see in the pastime of Bhrigu Muni, when Bhrigu Muni goes to meet Brahma and then Shiva, and then finally he goes to Vaikuntha, and there he kicks the Lord on his chest. Now, externally, if we see, oh, I don't want to associate with somebody who kicks the Supreme Personality of God, it's better to say Hare Krishna to him far off. Why should we take his association? But in Vrindavan Das Thakur, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, explains this whole Leela in such detail, wherein he mentions in a verse that actually Krishna inspired Bhrigu Muni to do that, because he wanted to, glorify worship of Vishnu, or glorify, himself, because the whole point was that the Naimisharanya sadhus were trying to figure out who should be worshipped. So that whole arrangement was made by Lord, that Brahma will behave like this, and then Shiva will behave like this, and then Bhrigu will come and kick me. So he says that Krishna actually entered inside Bhrigu and made him do that. So now see, externally we may think, but Bhrigu Muni is so offensive, so much anger. Can pure devotee have so much anger? No control over his senses. He went and kicked the Lord himself. But actually this is all drama. Lord inspired him to do it. So like that, imagine every single day in our life, we may be judging so many devotees. Oh, why is he doing like this? Why is he behaving like this? Why is he talking like that? So how do we even come out of this confusion? So then Vrindavan Das Thakur says, the only solution is respect everybody. Don't get into the nitty-gritty, who is Vaishnava, who is pure Vaishnava, not Vaishnava. Just everybody should be respected. Anybody who's chanting Krishna's name, just be respectful to everybody. Be careful. Don't commit any offenses, just to be on the safe side. But Gaur Govinda Maharaj, he made one very important point. He says, definitely there are pure Vaishnavas in this world. And he says, what is the proof for that? He said, the fact that there is oxygen in this room means there is a pure Vaishnava here. The fact that sun is rising every day and setting every day, there is a Vaishnava here. Now, why he says that? Because that is what is mentioned in the Padma Puran 7th canto. In Padma Puran, Lord himself is saying that in words. He says, this whole material creation exists because of a pure devotee. If there is no pure devotee in this world, then material creation cannot exist. That's what the Lord says. So the fact that this whole material creation is here, that means there is some pure devotee here. If there is no pure devotee, there will be no material creation. This whole universe will be destroyed, and that's what Lord confirms. So we shouldn't be so much, judgmental. Oh, we don't know who is a pure devotee. Anybody is chanting Krishna's name, all are devotee, respectful to all, and we should not, you know, sit and make analysis. You know, I want to surrender and serve, but I don't know who is a Vaishnava. So better to be nice to everybody generally. And then, of course, those devotees who are sajatiya and those who are suhrida and those who are inspiring us and helping us in Krishna consciousness, we take more of their association and serve them. But the other devotees, we are careful not to offend them. So, of course, it's not that a temple president in a temple may be a pure devotee, or a GBC may be a pure devotee. Maybe a sweeper inside a temple is a pure devotee. We never know who is a pure devotee, because it's not about external post. It's not about how many years in ISKCON. It's not about, we just don't know. We can't understand the heart. So better to be respectful to every single living being. So anyway, all said and done, why did we get into this? So we were talking about how, he was so keen about Vaishnav Seva, Shivananda Sen, and he took Vaishnav Seva as his life and soul. And so beautifully he was rendering the service of taking all the Vaishnavas to Puri Dham to meet Mahaprabhu. And that is why he became the recipient of Mahaprabhu's special mercy. In fact, Mahaprabhu had given special instruction. He said, as long as Shivananda Sen's family is in Puri, they should get my direct remnants. So Mahaprabhu's plate, whatever he used to take prasad, the direct remnants used to go to Shivananda Sen's family. So why that special mercy to Shivananda? He was not giving big donation to Mahaprabhu. What he was doing, which catched Mahaprabhu's attention, is he was doing Vaishnava Seva. So that's the whole point I was trying to drive home, is that if somebody does Vaishnava Seva, then they can just purchase the Lord, you know. That's why Lord is so careful, you know, with the devotees who are serving the other devotees. He just, you know, becomes the, that's why in our movement, you know, what is that verse by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Dasa Dasa Anudasa Gopi Bharata Upadakamalayo Dasa Dasa Anudasa. So that secret Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, that if you want to please him, then we try to become Dasa Dasa Anudasa. Now, exemplifying that mood of Dasa Dasa Anudasa, we see one more very important event or incident that happens in Shivananda Sen's life. And that is one time when he's organizing a similar trip to Puri, how he just gets too busy with the toll tax people, and Nityananda Prabhu has accompanied, and the whole point is they've been waiting for a long time under a tree. And they're hungry, and, you know, whole day has passed. And by the time Shivananda completes all that job of paying the toll tax and comes to Nityananda Prabhu, he sees his wife is crying, and he says, what happened? Why are you crying? And he says, Nityananda Gosai has got so angry with us. He said, hey, this Shivananda is keeping me like this under a tree. I'm so hungry. I may die out of hunger. May Shivananda's three sons die. So now she was crying that Nityananda Prabhu has cursed us. And then immediately Shivananda says, oh, foolish lady, you know, why you are crying? We deserve this, the kind of inconvenience that we have put the Lord into. We deserve it. So let our sons be died if that is what Nityananda Prabhu wants, you know. You know, don't cry. He's a Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is so, so, so very beautiful. And then he goes to Nityananda Prabhu and he asks for forgiveness, you know, that I'm very sorry I became late. And Nityananda Prabhu, you know, getting very angry, just kicks him on his head with his feet. And then he becomes all the more happy. And Shivananda says, oh, today you have accepted me as your own. The way you have punished me, now my life is perfected. And I thought that was so beautiful. Of course, it's so high and so lofty for us to even comprehend. How can somebody do that? For us, our seva is so highly dependent on reciprocation. Every single moment, every single seva, right from making a sambar to making a garland, we are highly dependent on appreciation and reciprocation. Now, how's the garland I made for Krishna today? And we need somebody to tell us, it was beautiful, Mataji. How's the sambar I made? How am I looking? How did I do this? And we so much crave for it. And here is somebody, forget about reciprocation, he gets chastisement after doing all the selfless service and he's ecstatic about it. So amazing. That means his source of happiness is Krishna's service. His source of happiness is not any other external things. See, like, even though we are serving Krishna, our source of happiness is not Krishna. We are serving Krishna, but our source of happiness is somebody else who will appreciate our service for Krishna. And we highly depend on that. And if we don't get that, we become depressed and we don't have any enthusiasm to do service anymore. Because we are not able to understand that our source of happiness should be Krishna. But we see here, for him, the source of happiness is seva itself. So even the small service of making garland or making Krishna prasadam, the source of happiness should be seva itself. The fact that I got the opportunity to make this garland for Krishna is, oh, such a wonderful thing. So that should be, you know, making us happy. Of course, at the same time, there shouldn't be a question after this class that, but is it wrong if I want to make a Vaishnava happy? But, you know, because we go through Vaishnava. So when I'm making the garland, I just want to ask that Vaishnava that are you pleased with my service? Or is it wrong if I ask a Vaishnava, how is the sambar today? Did I cook well? I just wanted to please a Vaishnava. Now, that's up to you. We're not talking about externals. What we're talking about is what's going on inside us. If you really and genuinely have that attitude that, oh, is this Vaishnava pleased by my service? I just want to please this Vaishnava, then it's all right. But the whole point is, do we want to please ourselves? And that's something we need to check for ourselves, because others can't go inside our heart and check what we're really hankering for. Are we really hankering for, you know, appreciation somewhere to boost our ego or some kind of a sense gratification? Then we should just self-examine and be a little careful about it. But if it's genuinely to please other Vaishnava, then there is no harm in asking, how's the garland today, or how's the prasadam, or how did I do this service, or how did I organize this event? But the source of happiness should be seva itself. So can you imagine, he must be getting so much pleasure from seva that other things don't matter. And the chastisement also gave him so happiness because he took it in the right mood, you know. And many times I give this example, you know, that, you know, sometimes guests come at home. And you see sometimes some naughty children come with the guest, you know, and then you go and serve them some drink or some cool drink, some ruabza, and that naughty child may break the glass, you know, and immediately you'll say, oh, that's all right. Small child is naughty. It's all right. If children don't make noise, whether you and me will make or what, oh, let them play. We'll be so sweet to them. But the same glass, if our son breaks, then he has had it. We'll say, what? Can't you see? Can't you be careful? Can't you hold the glass properly? You know how costly it was. You broke my whole crockery set. The whole set, that matching set has gone disturbed. Why? You should have been so careful. With our child, we are so strict, or rather, because he's our own, we want to discipline the child. But when it comes to guest, we say, it's okay. Children are not naughty. Who will be naughty? You and me will be naughty or what? Because we're not interested in disciplining their child. They're just guests. But our child, we want to discipline. So the same feeling here Shivananda Sen is having. Oh, because now you have accepted me as your own. That's why you want to discipline me. You want to chat. We get angry on somebody whom we think is mine. You have that right. You don't chastise just about anybody walking on the road. So such a nice mood he takes it up. Oh my Lord, today you've accepted me as my own. And of course, the other way of looking at this Leela is that the Lord wants to glorify his devotees and just show the world, see how great is my devotee. He can tolerate every situation. You know, recently one very nice clip of Srila Prabhupada has become viral in WhatsApp, you know. Everybody is just sending each other this very beautiful clip where Prabhupada is, you know, very laughingly telling Narada, he went and told the Pandavas, he said that, Pandavas or whom? He says that, oh, very nice. Narada is telling Krishna, oh, very nice. The Pandavas have lost their kingdom. and their wife is also in exile. There's somewhere they are roaming from one forest to another. Oh, that's your glory, my Lord. That's how you treat your devotees. But what I'm wondering is, still their love for you goes on increasing day by day. So what is this hypnotism that you are doing on them? You know, Narada is asking Krishna, what are you doing to them? You know, they are put in so much trouble, but every single day, their love for you is more than what it was yesterday. It keeps on increasing. Whereas their misery is also keeping on going on increasing. You know, day by day, they're facing more and more misery, but the love is not reducing. So what is that hypnotism that you are doing to your devotees? You know, so like that we see in Chaitanya Leela about Srivas Thakur, you know, when his son dies, you know, in the middle of the kirtan. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme personality of Godhead, and he could have, you know, make sure that Srivas Thakur's son does not die, but Lord doesn't interfere and the child dies. And then Srivas Thakur goes and tells, you know, to his wife and mother and all, hey, don't make noise, it'll disturb Mahaprabhu's kirtan. So why does Lord organize this kind of pastimes, you know, kicking Shivananda Sen, and then, you know, Srivas Thakur's son dying and all this, just to tell the whole world, look how great is my devotee. Just like, you know, Lord Shiva is telling Parvati when she just curses, you know, Chitraketu Maharaj. Lord Shiva is looking at Parvati and saying, see how great is the Lord devotee. If he wanted, he could have cursed you back. But that's the beauty of Lord Krishna's devotees. They're so tolerant, you know. So we see with this incident, such beautiful quality of a devotee is exemplified. For devotee, you know, he literally, you see this in Bhakti Vinod Thakur's bhajan. This is one very beautiful bhajan, one of my favorite bhajans. He says, Manasa deho geho jo kichu mora arpilu tu apade Nanda Kishora Sampade Vipade Jivane Marane Dai Mama Dev Tuva Upada Barane Maro Virakobi Jo Icha Tohara Nitya Dasa Prati Tuva Adhikara. The last line, Nitya Dasa Prati Tuva Adhikara. You have full rights. Maro bhi rakho bhi. You want to save me, kill me, do whatever. That you have full right. Sampade vipade. When during prosperity or during, you know, reversals, my shelter is only you, my Lord. And whether it's my mind or it's my body or it's my house, everything is you, my Lord. Oh yeah, here is the bhajan. Yeah, so such a beautiful bhajan. It's a Janaka Janani. Whatever my children, everything is yours, my Lord. So you know, it's not only about these bhajans. If you see those devotees in Chaitanya Charitamritam, they actually show us by example whatever these Vaishnava bhajans are, and they exemplify that quality, you know, and show us how actually it is possible. It's not lip deep, it's actually heart deep. They actually, you know, show it by their lives, you know. Actually, this bhajan is otherwise very nice for us to sing, but actually to apply in our life is something, you know, and this Vaishnavas are showing us how to apply them in our life. So anyway, so there's so many other stories, so many other pastimes of Shivananda Sen. But anyway, so we'll try to end here, maybe another one pastime, and then I close it here. So like this, we see that the pastime of the dog, in the pastime of how Nityananda Prabhu kicks him, but he still shows so much tolerance, and how he received the remnants of the Lord. And sometimes by this kind of pastimes, Lord also wants to give example to others. Just like Prabhupada said, na, that if you want to teach something to your daughter-in-law, you shouldn't scold her. You should tell your daughter and she will learn. So sometimes, you know, like we see in the life of Pandavas, you know, or for that matter, Haridas Thakur or Jayadev Goswami or Tukaram or Narasimha Mehta or Srila Prabhupada or, you know, Ambarish Maharaj, all these devotees, we see so many troubles or in their lives. The whole point is Lord wants to show how, you know, how they behave during such situations in their life so that we can take, you know, inspiration from them. And, you know, they are like this, just showing us as examples. Like, for example, sometimes why I'm mentioning this is sometimes apparently we may feel, why does the Lord has to be so tough, you know? I mean, so tough. You know, he can't he show it in some other way, kicking him and after so much. Like if you see even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you see this one pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Chota Haridas, I mean the poor fellow, it was not that big, you know, he just goes to Madhavi Devi's house and begs some rice and frankly speaking that Madhavi Devi was not some young and beautiful girl, she was an old lady, very old lady, but still Lord is so hard to Chota Haridas and says, I'm not going to see your face. And for 1 year, Chota Haridas patiently waits. In fact, I should mention this, that you know, when we were talking about Sarup Damodar Goswami, one another beautiful quality of Sarup Damodar Goswami is that when this incident happens, 1 whole year, Sarup Damodar Goswami takes prasadam for Chota Haridas and, you know, gives him solace. Hey, don't worry. Mahaprabhu will call you back in his service. Mahaprabhu is very merciful. Have patience. And so nicely, he just, you know, convinces him and consoles him. So that was one very beautiful quality of Sarup Damodar Goswami. Very, very, very mature, like a natural leader, you know, like because she is Lalita, right? Connecting Radharani and others. So Chota Haridas, you see, Lord was so strict with him. So why was Lord so strict? And then poor fellow finally goes to Varanasi, gives up his life, and then with a spiritual body he's serving Mahaprabhu. And in fact, when some devotee tells Mahaprabhu that Chota Haridas has left his body, Mahaprabhu smiles. And devotees are like, okay, Mahaprabhu is not even crying. Oh, really? He left his body? Nothing like that. He's smiling, you know, happily. We may feel, what is this? You know, Mahaprabhu is supposed to be Patita Pavan. Why so bad? But there's beautiful verses in that chapter where I particularly was reading this verse and I thought this is so beautiful. It says that because of Chota Haridas incident, the other devotees in Puri became so afraid that even in their dream also they were not speaking with any woman. Even in dream they didn't want to speak to a woman. Arey, Chota Haridas was in such a big problem, I don't want to be in that problem. So sometimes apparently Mahaprabhu is doing things just for an example so that others become very cautious and they become very strict in their sadhana and their Krishna conscious life. So sometimes that is why also Lord, you know, apparently it looks to our eyes, he's so hard, but then he has his own reasons. So like that, there are many other pastimes also of Shivananda Sen with Nakul Brahmachari. And then there is a pastime of, you know, how Nakul Brahmachari is showing all the symptoms of, see, Mahaprabhu, there are two ways that he, I can go for another 5 minutes, it's okay? 5-10 minutes, it's okay?
Sure, Mataji. Okay.
So Mahaprabhu, he delivered people in two ways. One was by Shakshat Darshan. Okay, you know, people actually see him and get his mercy. And one was Shaktavesha. How he was doing that is, anybody who is to come and meet him, they used to get infected by Krishna consciousness. Then they used to go and infect other people in Krishna consciousness. And then those people used to go to some other villages and infect other people. And that's how it was like a tsunami. Everybody was becoming a Krishna devotee. So sometimes what Mahaprabhu used to do is, he used to empower certain people. And they used to show all symptoms, you know. Sometimes they used to show the same luster and their body also like Mahaprabhu, same mood like Mahaprabhu, same way of chanting like Mahaprabhu, the internal mood like Mahaprabhu, separation from Krishna like Mahaprabhu, making thunderous sound, everything they used to show like Mahaprabhu. And this was a special mercy of Mahaprabhu. So one such devotee called Nakul Brahmachari, he was exhibiting all these symptoms. So Shivananda Sen, he got a little doubt in his mind. Oh, really Mahaprabhu is manifesting in his heart and these symptoms are coming, or he's just making some show out of it? So then he goes to that place where Nakul Brahmachari is there, and there are hundreds of people and all are chanting with him. And then Shivananda Sen thinks in his mind, if really Mahaprabhu has shown his mercy to this Nakul Brahmachari, then even inside this crowd, he will point out, you know, he'll call for me. So purposely in the crowd, he hides himself. But Nakul Brahmachari calls, hey, where is Shivananda? Call him, you know, and he sends four people. Hey, who is Shivananda? Shivananda. And then they bring Shivananda to Nakul Brahmachari. And then Nakul Brahmachari tells him, say, hey, you were doubting me. You were doubting me. But, you know, I know that you were hiding. And I know what's your mantra, that Gaur Gopal mantra that you are chanting. I know your mantra, what you are chanting, the four syllable mantra. And then he tells him, you know, then he becomes convinced. Oh, you know, so this is one pastime where Lord is so mercifully removes the doubt in the mind of Shivananda. And one more time also such things happen with Shivananda, where every year devotees go to Puri to Mahaprabhu. But one year when Shivananda Sen's nephew Shrikant goes to Puri, Mahaprabhu tells him that go and give this message to devotees in Navadvip. This year they don't need to come to Puri. I'm coming to Navadvip. So the devotees didn't go to Puri. They were waiting for Mahaprabhu, and they were waiting for Mahaprabhu, but Mahaprabhu never came, and they're feeling very sad. So at that time, one devotee called Pradyumna Brahmachari, who is also known as Narsimhananda Brahmachari, this name was given by Mahaprabhu to him. He comes there and he asks, why all of you are sad? He said, Mahaprabhu said he'll come, but he is not coming. So then he says, I'll bring Mahaprabhu. You know, within 2 days he'll be here. And then he goes and stays in Shivananda Sen's house and says, give me all ingredients, I'll cook, you know. So then he cooks, you know, and then in his meditation only he brings Mahaprabhu. He's just making the whole road for Mahaprabhu, you know, putting all the petals in the road and showering all petals on Mahaprabhu. But then he sees that Mahaprabhu has come up to Panihati, but then he sees Mahaprabhu is not coming here. So then he is just sharing it with them, that, you know. And then meanwhile he cooks. So he has three deities. He has Jagannath, and he has Narsingha, Narsimhadev, and then of course he makes a third plate to offer to Mahaprabhu. So this pastime takes place where he takes the ingredients from Shivananda Sen, and then he's cooking, and then he offers three plates, and then he goes outside, because that's the system. The pujaris are not supposed to stay in the place when they make the offering. They have to allow the Lord to, you know, space for taking offering, taking the bhoga. So when he goes out and comes back, he sees all the three plates are empty. And then he gets very upset. And then he's telling, oh, what is this, Mahaprabhu? You have taken off the bhoga of Narsingadev also, and you have taken off the bhoga of Jagannath also. What is this? Now Narsingadev has to fast, because his Ishtadev was Narsingadev. So when he's talking like this, Shivananda Sen has a little doubt in his mind. He thinks that, is he just telling out of affection, like, you know, in a bhava, or really Mahaprabhu came here and took prasadam? So that he doesn't believe it. So next year when they go to Puri, somehow in a general talk, Mahaprabhu is telling, hey, this Pradyumna Brahmachari last year in the month of Pausha gave me such excellent vegetable and rice. It was so tasty. Then everybody understands, oh, that means the Pradyumna Brahmachari was telling correct. Mahaprabhu had actually come and taken prasadam. So Mahaprabhu used to do that many times, you know. Like we know this famous verse that whenever Sachimata cooks, wherever Nityananda dance, and at Raghav Pandit's house, and Shiva's Thakur, you know, wherever there is a kirtan, these four places Mahaprabhu will be there. You know, he'll come himself personally and he'll accept Sachimata's cooking. So this is one pastime this happens. And of course, Raghunath Das Goswami, when he left his house, his parents were very much worried about him. So they asked Shivananda, oh, did he accompany you? So he said, no, he has not come with me. I don't know. So when he came back from Puri, they asked him, did you see my son there? And he said, yeah, he was there. And he's so renounced and so austere. He's just begging food. Then the parents become very unhappy and they said, please, you know, give him this money. So they give 400 rupees to Shivananda Sen, and they send one cook and two brahmanas, to serve him. So then Shivananda, he goes and, you know, gives to Raghunath. Of course, Raghunath does not accept it. But this seva Shivananda used to do, you know, any message to be given from Navadvip to Puri, Puri to Navadvip. And he was like this, serving all the devotees and making them so happy. So like that. These are the beautiful, beautiful pastimes in the life of Shivananda Sen and Sarup Damodar Goswami. So on this very, very auspicious day of their disappearance, we can beg for their mercy from the core of our hearts, that they can bless us, that you know, we can develop this respect for all the Vaishnavas and not commit any offenses in the feet of Vaishnavas, and then we can serve them wholeheartedly, unconditionally, selflessly, and get the mercy of these Vaishnavas and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you know, please our Parampara Srila Prabhupada in this way. Thank you so much. I'll end it here with this. Thank you so much. Shivananda Sen ki jai, Sarup Damodar Goswami ki jai, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Such a lovely and Nectarian place, Mataji. Beautifully explained the glories of Sarup Damodar Goswami and Shivananda Sen and pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you so much, Mataji. Mataji, we have time for questions, Mataji.
Okay, maybe one or two questions.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Devotees, if anybody have any questions, please raise hands. You can unmute for me.
Hare Krishna Mataji, such a beautiful class. Every one of your classes is like a gem. I just want to read out some appreciation. So this was a heart-touching class. When we can't see into the devotees' hearts, how dare we judge them? Anyone can be a pure devotee. We fail to see, blinded by our envy. We should serve to serve, introspect and see, is it for praise we serve? Thank you. This is from our hearts. Thank you so much for your association, and we would like to come again, you to come again and again in Bhakti Sangha and enlighten us.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for summarizing so nicely. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji Dandavatam. Thank you so much. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for taking us to Jagannath Puri. And
happy to see you. Rath Yatra
mood.
I thought you are upset with me, you know.
No.
Many times you keep sending me messages.
No,
I just wanted to see you. And okay, Mataji, thank you so much. You are there. I'm happy to see you. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. How can I upset with you? Such a great Vaishnava you are. And you are serving so much, getting busy all the time, you know. So I'm so grateful to you. And thank you so much for your time, Mataji.
Okay, there are no questions. Shall we close it?
Prerna.
Hey Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. I just want to express my gratitude to you. So many years we have been practicing bhakti, but still don't know how to approach the Lord. So I just want to mention one point that you taught all of us today, that whenever we approach the Lord, we have to glorify the Lord, ask for forgiveness, accept our shortcomings, and then express our desires. So all our practice of bhakti is so hollow that we've been following, and we never knew this. So thank you so much, Mataji, for teaching us how to actually practice bhakti.
Thank you.
Leena, take Chandani. Okay. Yeah, I think no more questions.
Thank you so much. Vacha Kalpataru Bhayascha Kripa Sindhu
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Such a beautiful class, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Wonderful class.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Koti koti dhanyavad pranam. Thank you, Mataji.
Mataji.